Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, hosted by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is a Monday, October the 15th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Co-host Cat Pastor Keith is en route. We'll be having a show. Looking forward to that today. Very, 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 very important show. And I will just say that I posted a lot into BTR community, but today is a very significant show. I hope that you all would really listen, share the overall programming, and have come with an open mind, because there's a lot that we are going to touch that I think is very, very significant. So, but we can do that only because we have a network such as Black Talk Radio Network. Without Black Talk Radio Network, we wouldn't have this, be able to have this grassroots movement. And Black Talk Radio Network needs your overall support. So if you please would go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Once you're there on the website, definitely find the donation prompt. Scroll until you see the donation prompt, and then please give some of your financial energy to this network so that it can stay on air. Very, very important that that is done. Make a donation. All donations, no matter what the size, is greatly, greatly appreciated. So we need your overall support. You can also support the network by being a part of this social media outlet. Many people do engage in social media. You could do that in a more holistic, secure way through BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that Black Talk Radio Network has put together for your overall social media engagement, where you can engage in social media activities without being as adversely affected by way of your identity being stolen, by way of people using your information and using it against you in a more profound economic way, and also not allowing you to be able to benefit from your overall activities, which they do in FedBook and all the other ones. So please come on over to BTR Community for $24 a year. One-time annual payment of $24 a year allows you to engage in a social media platform membership where you can engage in your overall social media activities by way of promoting yourself, your business within reason, or bringing to light things that you think that need to be shared and discussions that need to be had and action that needs to be taken. You can do that through BTR Community, okay? Also, if you would like to acquire real money, please go to Prosperity Mint and check out what's in inventory and exchange your currency for real money. Very, very important. I definitely see some things coming along, and at some point and at some time, you may not be able to do that anymore, especially in the easy way that you're able to do it now, okay? Because money will become very, very sought after by the multitudes, and it's going to be difficult to compete against that. And so make sure you go to Prosperity Mint, check out what's in inventory there, then email info@ProsperityMint and say, hey, Dave from Tando Radio Show sent me. And they're going to use that only to explain to you the overall process of acquiring the precious metals. It's not going to be used for sales or anything else. Please contact them. Leave a way for them to contact you back, and they will. And then once that is, you have it from there, and then that's the only thing. Will not be used for anything else from there, okay? Now, I'm going to get into today's show. And let me just really quickly before my man Scotty. Scotty, right after I do what's in the news, I want everyone to hear something. I put a video there, Scotty. If you could just play it from the 2 minute mark to the beginning of the is really the 12 minute and 45 second mark. So the 11 minutes of it, a little less than 11 minutes, 10 minutes of it. Very, very important. I want you to hear what celebrity figurehead Pence said. Very, very telling. And it has a lot to do with today's show. And it's extremely important. And today's show is all about what's going to be happening. I actually posted the full video there. And today's show, Bulgarian politics will be the people's onus. Bulgarian politics will be the people's onus. And it's just a matter of time, ladies and gentlemen, for the all-out war paradigm to be announced. And they're going to do it in a way that gets the overall general population support globally around the world for it. You're going to hear more and more and more and more. They're going to create that overall paradigm, so it's right in your face. You have to prepare for it before that happens. So I want to get into some of the things with what's in the news. So let's jump into that and then get into today's show. First article I posted from oil price. I posted a lot today. I won't go over it all. Oilprice.com. The disappearance of Saudi journalists could rock the oil market. Yes, this is over the overall paradigm that I wanted to discuss with you all that's happening. Now, some things I don't talk about for a lot of different reasons. I stayed away from this story as it was unfolding because I just didn't think that I needed to talk about it. But more importantly, because you can unplug that. More importantly, because of you can unplug. There's another plug right there. More importantly, because of what is really behind it, and I don't want to. I have my suspicions, and this is a way to really, really perpetuate the overall war market, war agenda and paradigm. So, and it's going to unfold. This was one of the events, and I've always thought that it would be a small event that would go ahead and further the overall march towards global nuclear, World War III that would turn into global nuclear war one there, Pastor Keith. Good to see you there, Pastor Keith, my buddy. Getting ready to turn 70 years old this week. So we're looking forward to it. No, about what? 62?
48.
Yeah, yeah. Pastor Keith said he's turning 48. Okay. All right. So check out that article. Next article from CNBC. 40% of American middle class face poverty by the time they reach the age of 65. And I think that that number is going to be even worse. 40% of American middle class face poverty by the time they reach the age 65, the age of 65. So they're telling you basically the retirement is going to be kaput, kampang, gone. And the events are actually unfolding for that. Next article I got from Bloomberg. Trump hints at more China tariffs, but doesn't seek. Trump threatens another round of China tariffs. So check out that article that's there from Bloomberg. Next article got from, this is a YouTube video that we got to check out. You're going to listen to celebrity figurehead Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States. And what's being said here is this is nothing more than a war speech. And it's really telling you where everything is going. It's a long video. It's about 45 minutes. Everyone should listen to it on their own. I posted it inside of BTR because it's very, very significant. But we're just going to listen to just short of 9 minutes of it. We're going to listen to just 9 minutes of it. From minute 2 to minute 13. It's not 9 minutes, 11 minutes. Yeah, my math is still. I don't do that new math. So next article, very, very important. We'll come back to this one. Sputnik News, China sells $3 billion bonds amidst trade war with the U.S. China sells $3 billion of dollar bonds. Can you say done? Finito. It's over.
Bonds.
Yes. Treasury bonds. Can you say done? Finito. And Keith said, is that Treasury bonds? American bonds? Yes, Treasury bonds. Next article from RT International. Warning shot. China sells U.S. Treasury bonds amidst trade war. It's just another verification of it from RT. Then Reuters. China shrugs off weak market with $3 billion bond sale. Check out that article. And then I have the balance. The real owners of the U.S. debt will surprise you. Next article. And then Investopedia. Five countries that own the most U.S. debt. What was wrong with me? Sorry about that. Five countries that own the most U.S. debt. Next article, very important one. This goes with what is going to be said in this video. This is from Oil Price. China's debt diplomacy backfires, ? Next article. This one comes from Trump. Trade wars into a recession. Yes, without a doubt. Next one, this one comes from Onyx. U.S. is far behind Russia and China in organized military in space. Big, big article. Then I posted some actual military. We'll carry this later on. The overall media report from DOD, Department of Defense, the final report on organized management structure for national security space components of the Department of Defense. So we're going to take a look at that sometime this week and why that's so critical and it's all falling into place. So this is going to be the final report on the organization and management structure for the national security space component of the Department of Defense. So we're going to take a look at that. Pretty bad, pretty darn bad. So we'll take a look at that next. All right, don't worry, Dave. That's all right. Next article got from Bloomberg as well. Stock market falls upon Trump's trade war policy. Check out that article. Next article. This one came from Press TV. U.S.-led jets drop white phosphorus bombs in Syria again. Next article comes from Next article comes from CredibleBubble.com. Rude awakening is coming. Very true. Very, very true. Next article from Sputnik News. Here we go. U.S. Treasury Secretary celebrity figurehead said that U.S. Treasury Secretary won't lose any sleep. Won't lose any sleep over China selling U.S. bonds. You're right. check out that article. Next article, international relations, the calm before the storm. Very, very true. Next article I've got from a survivor, Sullivan. Five ways to stop your BOB from getting you killed. BOB is your bug out bag. We'll definitely take a look at this. Five ways to stop your bug out bag from getting you killed. And this is some things we need to be talking about, because I do think that we're going to have events where you may have to, use a bug out bag to get you to a destination that you would rather be at than the one that you are. And we want to talk about that as well. We'll do that sometime this week, Keith. Okay? Definitely. Also, next article from Press TV. IMF warns of window narrowing for global economy. Next article from CNBC. Wilbert Ross. Trump's new China tariffs, and this is a little older one, I just thought it was funny. Trump's new China tariffs will increase prices, but nobody's going to actually notice. You're right. Next article. This one comes from Open Secret News. Nikki Haley accepted private flights from GOP donors while in office. And that was they're saying that was the reason why she had to resign. We'll see. Next article. Very, very important. I hope to play this video is like 2 minutes, not even a minute long. It's a minute. No, it's a minute, not even 2 minutes long. A minute and 30 seconds. And Donald Trump in his 60 Minutes interview last night said a couple of things that were very, very, very significant. But one of the things that I wanted you all to hear, and it's like a minute and 36 seconds, is what he says about what he learns from being in politics. In the political arena, man, telling, extremely telling. Next article from Sputnik News. And then during that same interview from Sputnik News, Donald Trump claims U.S. has no allies worse than the EU in a canon interview. He said there is no worse ally. He has no ally worse than the EU. Done deal. It is over. A lot going on in there. Next article from the Daily Beast. And this is all goes with, and I'm going to say that this all goes with what's going on in Turkey and in Saudi Arabia with the journalist that is missing, alleged murdered from the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey. How the Secret Service foiled the Trump assassination attempt. It all goes together because we covered it. We talked about it the day after, it was in the evening, that there was a coup attempt, in my opinion, in Saudi Arabia. And MSB may have even have been shot. And then there was the roundup of celebrity figureheads that's going on. That fight is all continuing, and this journalist is a big, big part of it. And it goes back to a long, long time ago. And it is one of the quiet sparks of the war. Huge. Now, this comes from Washington Post. After journalist vanishes, the focus shifts to young prince, dark and bully style. Talking about MBS. Very, very important. There's fights within the fights, and it's all operative fights, and it's going to be nasty. If you look at the overall video of what they allege happened to the journalist, it was nothing more than a hit, an organized hit. But it was an organized hit, not on a journalist. This was more of an organized hit on an agent. It's a big difference. There's a huge, huge difference in those that are in that type of arena, and you understand how the overall the modus operandi of different things. A journalist, there's a certain way that the system prefers in assassinating journalists. They have journalist cars run into trees. They don't have them go to the embassy and dismember them. That's what you do to operatives. Big, big thing. Very, very telling. Next article. This one comes from Times of Israel. The defense minister, Lehman, said no choice but to strike Hezbollah hard, even if it widens the conflict. Israel has no choice but to strike Hamas terrorist group in the Gaza forcefully, even such a move would drag Israel into a full-blown military confrontation. This is what he said yesterday. And remember that the F-35s were down in Europe, the U.S., and Israel. Now they're back up. And remember when they went down, I said, I think that they brought those, even though they were troubled aircraft, I think that they grounded those aircraft for a reason. And that reason is that they're going to use those aircraft to try to navigate and compromise the S-300 system and S-400 system in the Middle East and on the Baltic, which don't think is going to work. Next article from Strategic Culture, NATO coordinates information war on Russia. Next article, very, very important one here. RT International, oil price $400 in yuan. Russian military base, Saudi insider says, Kingdom mulls 30 anti-U.S. moves. Basically, Saudi Arabia is thinking about jetting the U.S. in aligning with China and Russia. Done deal was already solidified by Vladimir Putin just before the Winter Olympics of 2014 started. I remember. And it's about to show for. Next article, Rise posted a YouTube video of a UN truck in the Congo.
Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused by what you just said. Are you saying that it's a done deal that the Saudis and the Russians are going to hook up and create some kind of alliance?
So.
Because
they're
fighting each other in Syria right now.
Yeah.
And and Saudi Arabia has been involved in terrorist attacks inside of because I remember last year they even the Saudi official even threatened them and said that they were going to back terrorists in Russia. So I don't know about being no done deal, because that was state there. Saudi is really the one. Well, different countries got different agendas, and Saudi's agenda in Syria is them pipelines and them gas pipelines in the north, man. And I mean, there's some other interests in the region, but that's their main reason. I don't see them getting with the Russians, man. And if they did, man, you know, I believe that they chopped that dude up in that embassy. Okay, he was living here in America. He was working for the Washington Post. He was the only reason he went to the embassy is to get something so he could get married. And anybody that know them type of people, man, I'm talking about them Saudi Arabians and that House of Saud, man. Them some barbaric people, man. They chop heads off and hands in the public square. When I was stationed there, some of them dudes would think it was cool or something to go watch them chop off heads. Man, they're some brutal people, man. They'll bury you to the neck up in the ground and then stone you if you ain't a virgin, you know, women. I mean, them some barbaric people, man. I absolutely believe they chopped that man up inside that embassy.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scotty. Yeah, they say they got video of it, Chief said. And I think what's happened is there's a split, because remember, Scotty, there was a coup attempt in Saudi Arabia earlier this year.
Yeah, but this guy's a critic of the current figurehead. I don't know if the old man dead. I can't remember right now, and he's the new king, but this new prince or whatever, man. They've been cracking down, man, on any kind of criticism or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read the articles yet, but they were saying this dude is kind of sadistic anyway, man. And this guy was a critic. That's why he was over here. And he wasn't going back to Saudi. So they lured him in and chopped his head off. I mean, chopped him up, man. But this guy that's running Saudi Arabia now, man, I had to read more about him, man, but I think he's a butcher.
Yeah, and it's a bad situation, and I think what's happening is that there's a big split in the overall. This guy was a part of the other split in the House of Saud that wanted to go in a different direction. He was affiliated with those individuals. And so, yeah, it's a big, big deal. And,
I can't say, Dave, I can't say that Russia and China won't make a deal with them I can't say that, man. You know, when I think about it, man, all these people is corrupt, man, and none of them, you know, I don't know. I just don't know.
I would hate to see that, though. Right what you said. All of this is corrupt. And yeah, I'm with you, Scotty, because it was, I remember when, oh, shoot, where the former Saudi, Bandar Bush went to see Putin, and just after the Saudis had threatened to fund the Chechen war against Russia, and Putin had him come to Moscow, and then he was sick shortly after that and hadn't been heard of since. And in that overall, this is what's alleged, I wasn't there, that the, as Scotty said, that the Saudis said that they'll back the terrorist groups that destabilize Russia. And then Russia said, and you know what, and we'll nuke you. And so there was the deal that was brokered there, and so it's now starting to come to fruition where it divided the house of Saud and this whole thing. And so now there's actually outright talking of them actually aligning. Remember when MBS said that he won't go for U.S. sanctions and he won't be bullied by the U.S. and he won't pay for any military. So military support. So this whole thing is really, really unfolding in a chaotic. See, they love chaotic confusion because then it hides the real objective and the real narrative and the real direction. So, yeah, it's getting ugly. Getting ugly. My man Roz posted a YouTube video of a UN truck overturned, one of the UN peacekeeping trucks overturned in the Congo, and it was full of 10 illegal minerals and ivory, because that's what they do. That's what they steal resources. That's what this whole that's how you control the people, is through resources. Next article from USA Today. Saudi rejects U.S. threats over missing journalists. Warns oil could skyrocket. This is from the USA Today. This whole thing is setting up to be an ugly thing. And next article from Sputnik News. Watch NATO try to secretly move troops and armor through through the Czech Republic. Next article. Here's the catch. From Press TV, Trump's son retweets posting linking the journalist to terrorist group. The eldest son of celebrity figurehead Donald Trump retweeted the post as portraying Jamal as a terrorist group, as a terrorist sympathizer, and mounting criticism of Russia's inaction and mounting criticism of Washington's inaction over the fate of the Saudi dissident. Here's the whole thing. See that word. One of the things that celebrity figureheads are people in political position, one of the things that they always try to do is they try to hide their archaic movements through threats of security. This is where they come up with boogeymans that don't exist when they're actually the ones that's doing it. So they're throwing around this word terrorism, because they've already terrorized the U.S. public. And so the setup, complete setup. Next article from Sputnik News. Trump suspects Mattis of being sort of a Democrat, admits he may leave the cabinet. Why is this so important? Remember when they had the overall cruise missile attack in Syria in April? Well, it was said that it was Dunsford and Mattis that prevented all-out war between the U.S. in Russia. And I think that a lot of those cruise missiles were purposely shot into harmless spots in the desert where other people, and then shortly after that, who came on board? John Bolton. They pulled Bolton in after that one. That's because, in my opinion, Mattis prevented all-out war with Russia because he knew the U.S. couldn't win it. So now they're getting rid of them. Next article from CNBC, Treasury yields. This is very, very important. Treasury yields are increasing again. reigniting concerns over high interest rate in the financial markets. Y'all, this economy is going to be in major, major trouble. So that's what's in the news. We posted a lot there. So go and check it out. Ran through it really quickly. But what I want to do, Scotty, if you could, Scotty, if you can't do it, that's cool. But there's a YouTube video that I wanted to play, and it's just from minute 2 to minute 13. I want you to hear celebrity figurehead Mike Pence talk about China and why this is so important. You'll hear, but you really need to. I posted it inside of BTR Community. You really needed to hear, and this was said over the weekend. You really needed to hear this in full. So, hope I put the right one in. Start at this minute 2.
Thank you, Ken, for that kind introduction. To members of the Board of Trustees, to Dr. Michael Pillsbury, to our distinguished guests, and to all of you who, true to your mission in this place, think about the future in unconventional ways, it is an honor to be back at the Hudson Institute. For more than a half a century, this institute has dedicated itself to advancing global security, prosperity, and freedom. And while Hudson's hometowns have changed over the years, one thing has been constant. You've always advanced that vital truth that American leadership lights the way. And today, speaking of leadership, allow me to begin by bringing greetings from a great champion of American leadership at home and abroad. I bring greetings from the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump. From early in this administration, President Trump has made our relationship with China and President Xi a priority. On April 6th of last year, President Trump welcomed President Xi to Mar-a-Lago. On November 8th of last year, President Trump traveled to Beijing, where China's leader welcomed him warmly. Over the course of the past 2 years, our president has forged a strong personal relationship with the president of the People's Republic of China, and they've worked closely on issues of common interest, most importantly, the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But I come before you today because the American people deserve to know that as we speak, Beijing is employing a whole-of-government approach, using political, economic, and military tools, as well as propaganda, to advance its influence and benefit its interests in the United States. China is also applying this power in more proactive ways than ever before to exert influence and interfere in the domestic policy and politics of this country. Under President Trump's leadership, the United States has taken decisive action to respond to China with American action, applying the principles and the policies long advocated in these halls. In our national security strategy that the President released last December, he described a new era of great power competition. Foreign nations have begun to, as we wrote, reassert their influence regionally and globally. And they're contesting America's geopolitical advantages and trying, in essence, to change the international order in their favor. In this strategy, President Trump made clear that the United States of America has adopted a new approach to China. We seek a relationship grounded in fairness, reciprocity, and respect for sovereignty. And we have taken strong and swift action to achieve that goal. As the President said last year on his visit to China, in his words, we have an opportunity to strengthen the relationship between our two countries and improve the lives of our citizens. Our vision of the future is built on the best parts of our past, when America and China reached out to one another in a spirit of openness and friendship. When our young nation went searching in the wake of the Revolutionary War for new markets for our exports, the Chinese people welcomed American traders, laden with ginseng and fur. When China suffered through indignities and exploitations during her so-called century of humiliation, America refused to join in and advocated the open-door policy so that we could have freer trade with China and preserve their sovereignty. When American missionaries brought the good news to China's shores, they were moved by the rich culture of an ancient and vibrant people. And not only did they spread their faith, but those same missionaries founded some of China's first and finest universities. When the Second World War arose, we stood together as allies in the fight against imperialism. And in that war's aftermath, America ensured that China became a charter member of the United Nations and a great shaper of the post-war world. But soon after it took power in 1949, the Chinese Communist Party began to pursue authoritarian expansionism. It is remarkable to think that only 5 years after our nations had fought together, we fought each other in the mountains and valleys of the Korean Peninsula. My own father saw combat on that frontier of freedom. But not even the brutal Korean War could diminish our mutual desire to restore the ties that for so long had bound our peoples together. China's estrangement from the United States ended in 1972, and soon after we reestablished diplomatic relations. We began to open our economies to one another, and American universities began training a new generation of Chinese engineers, business leaders, scholars, and officials. After the fall of the Soviet Union, we assumed that a free China was inevitable. Heady with optimism at the turn of the 21st century, America agreed to give Beijing open access to our economy, and we brought China into the World Trade Organization. Previous administrations made this choice in the hope that freedom in China would expand in all of its forms, not just economically, but politically, with a newfound respect for classical liberal principles, private property, personal liberty, religious freedom, the entire family of human rights. But that hope has gone unfulfilled. The dream of freedom remains distant for the Chinese people. And while Beijing still pays lip service to reform and opening, Deng Xiaoping's famous policy now rings hollow. Over the past 17 years, China's GDP has grown ninefold. It's become the second largest economy in the world. Much of this success was driven by American investment in China. And the Chinese Communist Party has also used an arsenal of policies inconsistent with free and fair trade, including tariffs, quotas, currency manipulation, forced technology transfer, intellectual property theft, and industrial subsidies that are handed out like candy to foreign investment. These policies have built Beijing's manufacturing base at the expense of its competitors, especially the United States of America. China's actions have contributed to a trade deficit with the United States that last year ran to $375 billion. Nearly half of our global trade deficit. As President Trump said just this week, in his words, we rebuilt China over the last 25 years. Now, through the Made in China 2025 plan, the Communist Party has set its sights on controlling 90% of the world's most advanced industries, including robotics, biotechnology, and artificial intelligence. To win the commanding heights of the 21st century economy, Beijing has directed its bureaucrats and businesses to obtain American intellectual property, the foundation of our economic leadership, by any means necessary. Beijing now requires many American businesses to hand over their trade secrets as the cost of doing business in China. It also coordinates and sponsors the acquisition of American firms to gain ownership of their creations. Worst of all, Chinese security agencies have masterminded the wholesale theft of American technology, including cutting-edge military blueprints. And using that stolen technology, the Chinese Communist Party is turning plowshares into swords on a massive scale. China now spends as much on its military as the rest of Asia combined. And Beijing has prioritized capabilities to erode America's military advantages on land, at sea, in the air, and in space. China wants nothing less than to push the United States of America from the Western Pacific and attempt to prevent us from coming to the aid of our allies. But they will fail. Beijing is also using its power like never before. Chinese ships routinely patrol around the Senkaku Islands, which are administered by Japan. And while China's leader stood in the Rose Garden at the White House in 2015 and said that his country had, and I quote, no intention to militarize the South China Sea. Today, Beijing has deployed advanced anti-ship and anti-air missiles atop an archipelago of military bases constructed on artificial islands. China's aggression was on display this week when a Chinese naval vessel came within 45 yards of the USS Decatur as it conducted freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea, forcing our ship to quickly maneuver to avoid collision. Despite such reckless harassment, the United States Navy will continue to fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows and our national interests demand. We will not be intimidated, and we will not stand down.
Okay. One second. All right, so you need to really hear that whole thing. And I'm going to tell you, that is nothing more than a pep rally for war against China, against Russia, and against all of their allies. And it's definitely going to happen. And it, if you listen to what Keith wanted to chime in, hold on, let me let Keith chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, Dave, you can't blame Pence. I mean, the atrocities that are going on. For these countries to think that they have the ability to do what's best for themselves. I mean, have you heard anything so absurd?
Nothing.
Everything that he complained about is these people are trying to get ahead and trying to do what's best for themselves as a country, and he's saying we're not going to stand for that. So they are guilty for doing exactly what we are supposed to be doing, and that's why we're going to war. Because basically he's saying we're not going to allow for those people to continue to expand and get better at their trades and doing everything that we're doing. We're not going to allow them to do exactly what we're supposed to be doing, exactly what they're supposed to be doing, because that might take away our good thing. And that was the gist of the whole message.
Yeah. It really was, Keith. That was the gist of the whole message. The whole message was that the overall American hegemony shall stand, and anyone that challenges it, they were complaining about China spending more than all of Asia combined for its military, while the U.S. spends more on its military than the whole world combined. They were complaining about China wanting to have the ambitions of having sovereignty. But sovereignty at the overall expense of being subordinate. He was complaining about the South Sea of China. He wasn't complaining about the Mexican Gulf of Mexico. He wasn't complaining about the eastern seaboard or the western seaboard of the United States. He was talking about the South Sea of China. And he was complaining about the South Sea of China because over $5 trillion in trade goes through the South Sea of China, that they wanted to do what? Maintain their overall Blue Navy bullying tactics to make sure that America, so-called, the U.S., got paid first. And he was complaining about companies that the government said that you can come into China only to do business without exploiting China. So if you're going to come in and do business with China, then you have to leave all of your secrets. See, what the U.S. has always been doing was going into a country, exploiting it, and taking everything out. and that country not being able to stand on its own, but stand in dependency of the United States. So they told him, no, if you want to do business in China, then you need to give up all of your intellectual property. That was a trade. Short-term business or long-term sovereignty for us. If you didn't want to do that, then do what? Don't go to China for business. And either way, you will be smashed either way. And if, and they talked about from 1972, but what really happened was significant was in 1971 when Kissinger was over in China and what really happened there. That was the overall debt and gold exchange. And this, if you really listen to this whole thing, he's going to talk about Africa, and it's going to be so hypocritical. And he's going to talk about the space. It's basically going to give a whole prep rally for war against China that the U.S. will lose. And will lose handedly.
And that's just against China.
And that's just
without all China's allies.
But that's what it is going to be. It's China's wise enough not to go at this alone. Because it's really China already knows that their war is not with the U.S. The war that they're really going to have to do is through their alliances against the U.S. And it's going to be against Russia. That's the one that they're setting up on both sides. Russia's preparing for that. China's preparing for that. Because the U.S. will be the overall... The booty, the treasure of winning the war. They're going to split it up, and that's where their confrontation is going to come into. Who's going to get Detroit? Who's going to get Texas? Who's going to get this? Who's going to get these resources? Who's going to get the allocation of influence around the world that the U.S. has now had to vacate by force? And this is where the devil's deal is going to be made. As many are always are. And this thing is really unfolding in a way that we have to be aware of what's really happening. And I would implore everyone to listen to that. I posted it inside of BTR community, the rest of that YouTube video. Very, very significant. And it is a telling thing for you and I, the reason why we prepare. Because the overall forecast in the weather report is that a great storm is brewing, and it will last. It will be severe, and it could be long or short. Either way, it will destroy. And I just don't want it to be too destructive in our community, because that opportunity to protect ourselves from it is there. And that window, as the IMF said, is closing. And we need to move through it as quickly and as deeply as we possibly can. And one of the things about going far, you can't go quickly by yourself. You need to go with others. And that's my overall purpose. And that YouTube video is very, very significant. Because it's basically a declaration of saying where the overall war will be declared and whom it will be declared against. So check out that. Now, one of the things I wanted to do, Keith, there's an article that I want to pull up really quickly, and this goes along with it. It said that China is a currency manipulator. How in the world can the U.S. ever call anybody a currency manipulator? Oh, I know why. Because the U.S. is a currency gangster. I guess they're right there. See, one of the things that man always creates is a monopoly. One of the things that the great creator always gives is sovereignty. Self-determination, sustainability. Man always gives subjugation. And there's a subjugating move that's happening right now that's going to have major, major effects. And I want to go to an article, and this article says China sells $3 billion amidst trade war with the U.S. Here's the article from, we're going to take the one from Sputnik. There's been a couple other ones. We'll take a look at a couple. I want to show you the overall impact of this and why it's so, so significant. Before we go into the commercial break, when we come out of the commercial break, we're definitely going to take a look at this even more. Here it is. The bond sale was carried out in the wake of a massive blow sustained by the U.S. stock market earlier this week. That was last week. This was on Friday. So we're talking about last week. And effectively demonstrated China's sway in the international bond market. Here's the key. China has sway in the international bond market. Britain made sure of that. Britain was the overall clearinghouse that allowed China to be significant. And all of these countries are aligning themselves asymmetrically in the purge against the U.S. Britain and the IMF was pivotal in China being the overall economic giant that it is now. This is how they got into the SDR in October of 2016. Goes on. Beijing sold $3 billion of sovereign dollar bonds, making it the third such sale in the last 14 years. They've only sold bonds, U.S. Treasury bonds, in 14 years. But this is the most important one. They sold $3 billion of sovereign dollar bonds. As China's Minister of Finance revealed, Beijing sold $1.5 billion worth of 5-year bonds at 3.25%, $1 billion worth of 10-year bonds at 3.5%, and $500 million worth of 30-year bonds at 4%. This is how the rest of the world is about to run from the U.S. dollar. And the burden of that is going to fall on every single person listening to this show's lap if you're not prepared for it. This is why I said that the Bulgarian politics, today's show was Bulgarian politics will be the people's onus. The Bulgarian politics is what you heard Mike Pence saying, and the overall will be the people's onus. The people's onus is you and every person in this world. The onus of that is that the last buyer of resort of that debt at 3.5 and at 4%, that probably turned to 5 and 6 and 7%, is going to be the every single person here in this country by way of economic displacement, and for the world by way of war displacement. And this is a setup. I never ever thought that bonds would be sold at such a high interest rate. Here's why the significance of that is, Keith. When you sell bonds, treasury bonds, the more risk there is, the higher interest you have to pay for the person to take that risk. The less risk there is, the lower the interest rate, because whenever you're buying bonds, you want to get a low percentage of interest rate because you're guaranteed. So you want maybe a basis point move of something very small. You want something in the realm of 1.25%. One point 1.35%. Because what does that mean? That means that you're secure, that there'll always be a good sale and there'll always be debt that will be serviced and you're going to be okay. But now when you start breaking the 3%, you're going to get paid more, but there's no guarantee that you're ever going to be able to sell it. And there's no guarantee that that debt is ever going to be serviced now. So the risk is higher. So what do they have to do? Because the risk is higher, they have to allure you in with more interest. See, China did Seoul theirs at high. They got rid of theirs. Why did China have it at such a high interest rate of 3.25 basis points and at 3.5 basis points and at 4%? Excuse me, at 3.5%, 3.5%, and 4%. Why did China sell it so high? Because China sold it so high because they knew they probably wouldn't get a buyer otherwise. Because the risk is so high.
Who they sold it to?
They sold it back into the market. That who they sold it to is not known. I bet you, you know who it probably sold to? You. Not us. No, you're right, Keith, us. It's generally the people of the world. Because if you're another country in the world, would you be buying U.S. dollar bonds right now? You would be sicking out your mind, too, unless you are making a sale under the gun. But how big are the U.S. bully tactics now? This is why Saudi Arabia... See, these are moves that show you that there's something that's going to happen with Saudi Arabia. There's something that's going to happen with Britain. There's something that's going to happen in Syria. These are the indications that really do matter, not the overall talking points in mainstream media. It's always the devil is always in these details. And it's very important that we know these things so that we can see these things and become aware. Not scared, aware. So that we can see what's happening, we can do what? We won't scream and holler, we'll whisper. I think I better sell everything I have in cash and get out of cash. These are the whispers that we need to be having. I think I better prepare for this and prepare for that because it's coming. And I just hope that they'll hold it off long enough for me to catch up to where I need to be. Because when they spring it, I want to be ready. These are setups. And the significance of this is very telling because China holds the most U.S. debt. They are basically getting rid of it. Pretty soon, see, there can never be a seller without there being a buyer. There can never be a buyer without being a seller. China couldn't have sold $3 billion unless there was a buyer. Who was the buyer? And I'm going to tell you who the buyer was. We get ready to come back off of the commercial break. Very significant. We need to really take a look at these. And when we come back out the commercial break, Scotty, real quick, I know this one is like 10, is only 1 minute and 30 seconds. I put it inside of BTR. Let me just put it back. It is of Trump with his 60 minutes. It's 1 minute and 36 seconds. I want you to hear what Trump said. I'm going to put it back into BTR community. And I would love to hear from you all at any time during the show. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Is the call-in number. We need to hear from you. We'd love to see what your thoughts are. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I posted it there, Scotty. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are the first president of the United States who never had a political post before, never served in the military. You come up here, you've been here for almost 2 years. What's the biggest surprise? And what have you learned since you've been president?
Okay, so I always used to say the toughest people are Manhattan real estate guys and blah, blah. Now I say they're babies.
Who's
they're
the
babies.
Toughest?
The political people. This is the most deceptive, vicious world. It is vicious. It's full of lies, deceit, and deception. You make a deal with somebody, and it's like making a deal with that table.
Give me an example.
Well, I don't want to give you an example. I'm not looking at it. In the meantime, nobody's been able to do what I've been able to do. Remember that. when you look at taxes, you look at regulations, you look at making deals with other countries, nobody's been able to do anything like this. Actually, most people didn't even try because they knew they didn't have the ability to do it. But it's a very deceptive world. The other thing I've really learned is I never knew how dishonest the media was. I really mean it. I'm not saying that as a soundbite. I never knew how dishonest.
I'm going to change the subject again.
Well, no, but even the way you asked me a question, like about separation.
Yeah.
When I say Obama did it, you don't want to talk about
it. No.
When I say I did it, let's make a big deal.
I'm going to run your answer, but you did it four times.
I'm just telling you that you treated me much differently on the subject.
I disagree, but I don't want to have that fight with you.
Hey, it's okay.
Or I would have another fight with you.
Leslie, it's okay. In the meantime, I'm president and you're not.
Meet WordPress.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. Listening to via because of Black Talk Radio Network. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. And OLG, I see a lot of the posting that you made in the chat room. And Scotty, yes, that was one of those neocon groups that set policy, the Hudson. Very, very true. And so in the first hour, we heard the overall war declaration of preparation for war at a prep rally that is going to go into the game itself. You always have the prep rally before the game, and that's what that was. And you heard when we first came back to out of the commercial break, you heard celebrity figurehead Trump talk about how the political system is full of deception, lies, deceit, trickery. And you can't even make a deal because the deals always will be broken. One of the things I'll say about Trump is this. He didn't lie in that. He did not lie in that. That is how it works. But there's a reason why it works that way. Because that's the only way that you can maintain control over people, by subjugating through deceptive measures. And it is such a bad situation where individuals can create debt that they don't have to pay, make laws that they don't have to obey, and declare wars that they don't have to fight. That is absolutely sickening. But what I wanted to do, but of course I would love to hear from you at any time. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. Wanted to go back to what we were talking about before but it was so funny. At the end, the egotistical side of celebrity figure Trump showed why they selected him. Because he said, because I'm president and you're not. That's really telling about a lot. So just wanted to play that really quickly. So today's show is to me very important. And we were talking about the bonds that were sold last week, and it was sold on Thursday. $3 billion sovereign dollar bonds, treasury bonds, were sold. I want to go back to this article from Sputnik News. Here it goes. This move, which was described by Bloomberg as an even bigger demonstration of China's pull in the international bond market, came in as markets suffered a global rout on Thursday after Wall Street's worst loss in 8 months. Let's stop there. What was Bloomberg admitting to? Bloomberg is now saying that the overall economic direction globally will be set forth at the pace of China. They're saying that the Shanghai Gold Exchange, that the Shanghai market, and that China's markets are the overall indication of direction now. And that means that overall influence and power is going to be taken away from who? The Western market. And the Western market is going to want to fight to give that up. And the fight has already been laid out. See, they're saying that China had so much influence that when the market was crashing, they still were able to sell bonds. Because why was China able to sell bonds? Because they forced the move. And I don't think that they forced the move on other countries in a very direct way. Guess what they did? They forced the move on the U.S. This is why the celebrity figurehead Treasury Secretary had to come back. You know, like, Keith, you seen somebody smack them and they say that didn't hurt, and then the tear is coming down their eye and they go down to one knee, and then you see in boxing when a fighter gets hurt and gets staggered, what do they do to the fighter that just hit him? They try to smile at him. Well, your smile is indication that you're about to go down. And that's when the Treasury Secretary said, we won't lose any sleep over that. That's because that was a death blow. And there's more to come now. Because this trade war, it always goes currency wars lead to trade wars, lead to shooting wars. And we're coming out the end of the trade war. We are entering into the shooting war. This is why you're seeing assassinations around the globe. This is why you're seeing the coups around the world. This is why you're seeing the overall moving of military assets all over the world. This is why you're seeing the economic collapse and everything bearing up to saying, hey, uh-oh, here it comes. All of these things are the birthing pains. They're the contractions before the labor. They're the, excuse me, I would rather put it this way, these are the foreshocks before the magnitude 10. And the aftershocks after that are going to last for many, many, many a years. And it's setting up that way. So what Bloomberg was saying is that China has now just invoked all of its economic power. What's the next move after this from China? I'm going to tell you, I may be wrong, but I definitely think from just historical looking at things and looking at how the economy works, I wouldn't be surprised if now China has invoked this overall its economic standing in the world. It's now going to give standing of confidence to the rest of the world by backing their currency with precious metals. That will be completely the end of the U.S. dollar. Completely. This is the overall life cycle. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to back their currency with money. They're not going to back their currency with debt. See, the U.S. was able to back their currency with debt because they had the overall gun to do it. They force you, say, no, you're going to take this worthless piece of paper. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to take it and you're going to like it. And people around the world, the citizens here, everyone here and around the world took it because of fear. They were afraid to call the U.S. what it was really. It was nothing more than an economic bully because they didn't want the overall wrath of the U.S. against them in foreign lands and abroad. They were able to position themselves as a bully to cower the overall world. And the world shook. And the world was scared. Because the world was afraid that they would get you. So China is going to do this. And I believe that all of these countries are in one big fraternity. It's just how subjugation works. China now has, since they've invoked their economic standing into the world by selling $3 billion in treasury bonds, when the market was collapsing around the world, they were still able to do that. They invoke their overall standing, and now they're going to say to the rest of the world, now you need to stand with us in confidence because we're not going to threaten you with military might. One of the things about China that no one could ever say that they've never, ever invaded any country. And as China always liked to say, that we built the wall to keep the barbarians out, not to have barbaric conquering mentality around the world. And they were right. So what China is going to say is that we're going to show you, the rest of the world, that we are not like them. Instead of forcing the overall agreement or forcing you to sign the contract or forcing you to hear the dictation of negotiation instead of negotiating, we're going to back our currency with real money. And guess what the world is going to say? I'll buy that. Then there's going to be a new phrase. The old phrase was, is not worth a continental. The new phrase will be, is not worth the U.S. dollar. They're both where our currencies of the U.S. that finally went to their true intrinsic value of zero. And this is so significant. And the ramifications of this is so large. It's so impactful in our lives that we may not be aware of it happening and what it really means and what the ramifications are. And when the rest of the world sees that China is going to back, see, China, in my opinion, is going to do this. They're going to have an announcement of a portion of how much their gold holdings are. They'll never announce how much silver they have, far more. China was the last country to come off the silver standard. They actually never really did. Silver has always been more highly sought after by their overall celebrity elite than it was gold. It was gold. So what's going to happen is that they're going to announce a portion of their gold holding. They'll never say anything about their silver. You never hear anything about countries holding silver, any countries or companies holding silver, because they don't want you to hold any. That means because that's less for them to have in control. So what they're going to do, Keith, is they're going to announce their overall gold holdings, and it's going to shock the world. And guess what the rest of the world is going to say? Well, since China is the big new economic direction and beacon of the world, then guess what? If they hold in gold, guess what I better do? Hold gold. Acquire gold. And what are those countries going to do? Oh, yeah. We got gold in New York. We got gold in the U.S. And then they're going to send a letter to the U.S. Treasury. We want our gold. We're repatriating our gold. And guess what the U.S. is going to say? No. It's a run on the banks. They're going to say, guess what? We got economic problems right now. That's the least of our worries. And then their countries are going to say, no, you got more worries because we're sending our warships over to collect it. And they're not coming over with their overall hulls empty. They're going to be filled with ammunition. And this is going to have a cascading event everywhere. This is how all of the countries turn their backs on the U.S. This is how the purge really gets completed. This is the methodology. Because the objective is the system can no longer maintain its overall stronghold over the population globally. It has to distract them and to get them back under their subjugation again. Because people are starting to think on their own. And they don't want people to do that. The Rothschilds, Keith, had a saying, we put it on here. I don't want a nation of thinkers. Want a nation of workers. And that's what is happening here. So Bloomberg is saying that they've invoked their overall economic standing. Why did China do it on last week? They did it last week because the market was collapsing last week and they wanted to send a signal, not to the United States. There's no signals that they need to send to the United States. They're sending their overall signals to the rest of the world. The article goes on. The bond issue is more like a vote of confidence in China's credit worthiness. Wang, a partner and senior portfolio manager at Deep Blue Global Investment, LTD, said. As Reuters pointed out, the Chinese bonds were priced at 30, 45, and at 70 basis points over U.S. Treasuries for a for five 10 and 30 year bonds respectively. The U.S.-China trade war broke out in July when celebrity figurehead Trump imposed tariffs on some Chinese imports in order to fix the U.S.-China $500 billion trade deficit. Since then, the two sides have exchanged several rounds of import duties on each other in spite of numerous attempts to restore, to resolve the conflict via dialogue. The dialogue will be none, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to move into all-out war. And I say that because I just want you to be as prepared for that as you possibly can be, because it will have a dramatic effect on your way of life. Now, real quickly, what I want to do is I want to take a look at some of the countries, five of the countries that own the most U.S. debt. And I got it from Investopedia. It's kind of old. I've shared this a couple of times before in different things, but I want to just, I'll use this one because in the interest of time, I think it will do as well. And I would say, who's the real owners of the U.S. debt? See, they will have, and the article is pulling up. Oops. One second. Having a little difficulty here. There we go. The article is pulling up. That own the most U.S. debt. And if it will load up for me, that would be great. I will. Okay, it's a little slow. Not surprised. Generally happens this way. Oh, it says timed out. Let me try it again. But the five are China, Japan. Brazil is in there, but they're not number three, I don't think. Hopefully this comes up. And it's not letting me get into it. I know it, but I can't rattle it off right away. So wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. All right, so let me see if I can reboot this again. All right, so it's not wanting to play, but okay, so it says that China, so now China has said, and this is from 2015, it says that China has $1.7 trillion of U.S. debt. Now, I want you to just think about that for a second. $1.2 trillion of U.S. debt. That in the U.S. debt is at $21 trillion. It's $21 trillion. So that's roughly what? 5% of all of the debt that the U.S. has, correct? That's 5% of all of the U.S. debt that the U.S. has. But I want you to think about this for a minute. Last year, in 2018, the U.S. debt has gone up $1.2 trillion. The debt itself has gone up $1.2 trillion. China is said to have about $1.7 trillion. But let me get the right number because this is significant. Hopefully it opens all up for me this time. I think it will, because I asked nicely. Okay, so here we go. From 2000, and this is from The Balance. There's the website, thebalance.com. The U.S. debt was $20.5 trillion as December 31st of 2017. It's only in October and is already at 21. 21.25. Right? So it's actually gone up. It's actually 21.27. It's actually gone up 1.27 trillion. In just a 12, not even a full 12 month period. There is no way you can get out of this. There is nothing left to do but to abandon ship and swim as far away from it as you possibly can. With or without a life raft, it's desperate now. Just get off the ship. Because the overall, the ones that knew, they actually positioned themselves to get off on a life raft, or guess what? Or to miss the boat going out altogether. The ones that were in the know on these things, they've been doing things to protect themselves from this at your expense. See, the key was they couldn't sell what you weren't going to be buying. So in order for them to sell it, they had to give a facade and a trick of deception for you to say, what? I'll take that. And they say, here you go. It's a luxury liner. It's unsinkable. They have a lot of parties, free food, free drink. Your wildest dreams. You need a vacation. You deserve one. You don't need to work. You need to relax. And they sent you out on a voyage. They sent us all out on a voyage to be sunk. They say it was an iceberg. They just happened to course the overall trip through iceberg territory. But guess what probably really happened? They probably had a bomb on board. And have the bomb just look and have the overall iceberg look like something, or had another flag on the iceberg and said there's a terrorist group that did it. Terrorist at the wheel. And he drove it into the iceberg. But what actually probably happened, that was strategically placed in the hole so it would sink, and it would sink fast. So here it says, let me go to, wow, this is crazy, this won't come up. Okay, so China has, I believe it's 1.7 trillion dollars in U.S. debt. Let me try this another way. But Keith, could you look it up real quick for me? Thanks. And while Keith is doing that, the significance of all of this is that they talk about China, Japan, and the other nations that have the overall U.S. debt. But you know who the real owners of the U.S. debt is? It's the citizens. See, they say the nations that hold the U.S. debt. The overall nations that hold the U.S. debt is nowhere near the people, the citizens of the U.S. that hold the debt. So it says that, here we go. So as of July, and it just popped up here, in July of 2008, China owed $1.17 trillion. And it's the largest holder of foreign U.S. treasuries. Oh, in the five countries. So the five countries, there it was Ireland. It was China, Japan, Ireland, then Brazil. I couldn't remember what the other country was. It was Ireland that was in the middle. And those are the countries that hold it. But there, see, those are the countries, but that's not the one that really matters. The one that really matters is who really does own the U.S. debt. That's the people. That's the overall. Every single person that holds and uses U.S. Federal Reserve notes are the holders of the overall currency supply. Who owns? And let me ask you something, Keith. What will people do for a dollar nowadays? They'll do anything for that. And I understand what it is, because they're trying to make it. But see, the key is that they're trying to make it by means that are choking them to death. If we're really trying to make it, then we really should be running from the U.S. dollar. And like celebrity figurehead Trump said, politics is all full of lies and deception. In the breaking of deals and promises. The breaking of a deal is the breaking of a promise. So everything that they've ever promised, they're going to break it. And they tell us. They forewarn. The alternative needs to be established by us. Not the burden carried by us. Very, very important. So Keith wanted to chime in real quick.
Okay, I just want to read this little paragraph that in light of what you're saying. It says the U.S. debt was $20.5 trillion as of December 31st, 2017. Now it says most headlines focus on how much the United States owes China, one of the largest foreign owners. What many people don't know is that the Social Security Trust Fund, a.k.a. your retirement money, owns most of the national debt.
That's what I was going to get to. Yes, Keith.
That's exactly what I was going to get to, Keith. And that's the one that really matters. And that's the one that is going to implode. Here's what it is. 50% of the U.S. debt, up to 50% of the U.S. debt is Social Security. 72%, yeah, 72. Keep showing me a thing from the balance that is 72%. Right, here's how the 72 adds up. 20% is military and other retirement funds. 3% is Medicaid. 16% of that overall 72%, Keith, is the breaking down of that. The public debt is 72% of the U.S. debt is the public debt. And of that public debt is broke down this way. 50% is Social Security, 3% is Medicare, 20% is military and other retirement funds, and then personal management and retirement funds make up 16%. Now, they're not even talking about the unfunded liabilities. The unfunded liabilities puts the U.S. debt at numbers that have they haven't even given a name for it yet. You want to make up a name and coin a name for it? Go ahead. They could use it. It's not quadrillion, quatrillion. It could be bling billion. Because that's what they created. See, most people think that the overall debt is the overall cash supply is significant about that. It is, but here's what happens, is that they make overall debt digitally. And they write an algorithm for it. How can you quantify that on a books that are honest? It's full of lies and deception. We're getting ready to go to our last commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
America.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. And I just want to say, you know, last week was a uh-oh moment, and it became a super uh-oh moment by what China did. Basically, this is what they did, Keith, is that they had shown that the U.S. is going to its overall currency and its confidence in the market to be able to acquire goods. That confidence is going to depreciate like a 2 week worn baby diaper on a brand new baby. It's going to have the same intrinsic and purchasing power and confidence that diaper would have after being on a baby for 2 weeks. Nobody's going to want to touch it. Everybody's going to be wondering, why hasn't this been changed a long time ago? So who's going to change the diaper and hold the diaper? Who's going to have that diaper? That's what the U.S. dollar is. And how it's going to play out is going to be an instrument that is going to have the same intrinsic value of a 2-week-old newborn's baby diaper. There was an article that celebrity figurehead Steve Mnuchin. Why do you always call that man Mnuchin, Keith? I mean, and then he's the U.S. Treasury Secretary. The U.S., and this is from Sputnik News again, the U.S. Treasury Secretary is convinced that there are other buyers for Chinese stock of more than $1 trillion worth of U.S. securities. Did you hear what he said? The U.S. security is convinced there are other buyers for Chinese stock of more than $1 trillion worth of U.S. security. What does that tell you? China has already put them on notice that the margin call is coming. We did a segment of series called the 96-hour margin call. We'll pick this back up really quickly. China has already forewarned that the margin call is coming, chump. And what did the secretary say? He's convinced that there's other buyers for China's stock of more than $1 trillion worth of U.S. Treasury. So what is he basically saying? Let's read between the lines, Keith. He says, when China drops all of our debt, we already have a buyer and we're confident in it. Who's the other buyer, Keith?
The American public.
Right. They won't be able to push that off on Japan. Japan's economy can't take it. Ireland? Are you kidding me? Brazil? No. The EU? They're already enemies with the U.S. Saudi Arabia? They already said, go pound sand. We're not paying you anything for the military. We don't need you. What, is Israel going to pick it up?
With what?
The Korea, South Korea is going to pick it up? The ASEAN nations are going to pick it up? Oh, Venezuela will pick it up. Mexico going to pick it up? Canada could do it? No. And this is going to be so painful. Here's what was said. The U.S. recently imposed tariffs on $2 billion worth of Chinese exports, prompting Beijing to counter its own tariffs with $60 billion worth of U.S. products. See, China hit them where they really hurt. They had a little bit of product, but guess what they said? We'll destroy your whole economy. We hold your debt. See, what is China saying? China realizes that, uh-oh, I got a debt problem with the U.S., and I need to get rid of it. Because if I hold the U.S. debt, when they default, guess what that does? They're not in debt, I am. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to pass that overall buck to where they see that it purposely should be put. And guess what they're going to place it? Right here in the U.S. is going to make up a new word. They're going to make up a word called tsunami inflation, not hyperinflation, tsunami inflation. The tsunami inflation that's going to beset this overall country and preset this overall economy and preset everyone that's here is going to come in like a global tsunami, because everyone will be sell, 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 sell. And when they sell, 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 there's other buyers. And those other buyers will be forced upon them by force and by fear. Here's how they're going to do it. But let me read it first. However, some speculated that China, instead of continue to match tariffs, in which case it would run out of options first, might hit the U.S. more significantly in a more significant way by selling its hoards of U.S. treasuries worth $1.17 trillion. But the U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said Friday he's not losing any sleep. Let me tell you why he's not losing any sleep. The man wasn't lying, because he's already prepared. He knows what's going on. He's there. He's already prepared. He's already prepared his family, and he's already prepared his community. But he's not going to tell you a darn thing, because the things that he's going to need to acquire his overall preparation, he doesn't want you to know what they are. It goes on. He's not losing any sleep over the prospect of China selling its stockpile of U.S. government bonds, CNBC reports. How in the world could you not be concerned if someone is going to sell 5% of your overall admitted debt? That means that you're in default. That means that they are actually going into receivership against you. They don't want it anymore. Article goes on. If they decide they don't want to hold them, there are other buyers, Mnuchin said in an interview with the outlet. And obviously, that would be a very, very costly for them to do. You're talking about China. That would be costly for China to do. See, that's the overall myth, that it will cost China a lot to drop the U.S. Treasury. It sounds good when the overall talking points in mainstream media says that, but it's not the truth. Here's why it's not the truth: because China has the rest of the world that's ready to do business with them. China has an asset that mitigates the overall fraudulent contract of debt. So they transfer the liability of that default back to the overall fraudulent issuer. See, when you have a resource, Keith, and ladies and gentlemen, this is so important, when you have a resource, the overall debt gets transferred to the overall one that holds the debt, because you've let it go. Because with a resource, you can sustain yourself. When you have debt and no resources, you're broke. How many resources does the U.S. have? How many resources does the overall general population that is going to be burdened with all of this? How much resources do they have? What have we been saving in? And I'm going to tell you, the consumer goods is not a measure of savings. The consumer good is, because they can continue to can make those consumer goods for nothing at all. It's going to be devalued. No one is going to want your your Jimmy Choo shoes, your Jordans and everything else when they realize that you can't eat? What do you think that they're going to do? You think that they're going to give you $1,000 for that when they know that you're starving? What are they going to do? They're going to give you the crumbs that will be appetizing to you. If they want that, they may say, ah, that's the old stuff. I have a newfound worth. I'm going to go and fall into a different form of consumerism. It's all a trap that they lay for mice and men. So, Mnuchin said, they're looking at the economics the way that we look at economics. So it is not something that I'm losing any sleep about, he added. CNBC, Lovelace Jr., argued that the holder of the bond is profitable for Beijing, as interest payments on them are worth billions of dollars. But see, here's the flaw in that. Your dollars ain't worth nothing. So what you can have, see, this is where it comes into the point where it's water, water everywhere and nothing to drink. You have all of these dollars, but you won't have any purchasing power. So what? You got $1 billion and it don't buy a Snickers bar. You need $2 billion to get a Snickers bar and a drink. Mnuchin also defended Trump's tariffs on China goods and called them a very important negotiating tool. As the trade war rages on, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said Thursday that the U.S. administration is working on a meeting between the U.S. president and China's president at the G20 in Argentina next month. And that's where they will probably, there's going to be a smackdown that's coming. So I think we got a caller in queue. Want to go to that caller. We got two callers. Let me go to them. We got a caller. We got Brother Davis, and then we got a caller out of New York City. We'll go to that caller after that. We're going to go to Brother Davis first. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, my friend?
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's always good, man. The show is great, Dave, as usual. I just wanted to interject a few different things here. One, China is really leveraging so that they can control the precious metals market. And if they do, that means that they're going to push the value, which enhances all of their currency, up. And they know this. They're in this game to win. And another card that they're holding, they're not saying much about. China has terraformed a desert into rich farmland. Think about that for a minute. How that would leverage them in the years to come. I did a show on the changing of the ages. And all the things that are all happening on a timeline. So it's actually where we are right now, while we're trying to, the United States really is warmongering, because you have to understand, when you're a bully, war is all you know, thinking it's going to be your solution when actually it's going to be your destruction. The sad part about that is those people who profit most on war are going to be affected by it anyway, because they're not here. They're not here in the country like we are. You see, that's going to play a role too. So people have to understand that they don't really care. The bottom line is the voice of the American people had better start to get some volume, so at least as this transition begins to happen, because I'm going to tell you, there's no sympathy, believe that, with the way the United States have treated other countries. Don't expect sympathy. But there's also going to be a dynamic that comes into play when this all begins to happen, that black people in America have no voice. They have no power. And those countries, foreign countries, they all know that. Don't think all of these things aren't going to play a role in this transformation process. And a lot of those people who out there who think that they got a lot of work to do, all you can do is the best you can. I just wanted to add that, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Well said, Brother Davis. And it's true. You know, China terraformed the desert into rich farmland. They got it from Gaddafi. Gaddafi was the first one really to master that in a profound way on a global scale that was actually brought to the overall market. And Brother Davis was absolutely right in the things that he was saying and how that is going to transpire. And well said, Brother Davis, as always, and greatly appreciate you so much in just for your overall thoughts and insight. And it's it's really an opportunity, as you said. There are some great opportunities that will be for those that do prepare. So, Brother Davis, let me get to the other caller. Much love, much respect. Always love hearing from you, my friend. If there's something we need, don't you know, give me a call. Don't hesitate. Give my regards to the Queen. Got another caller out of New York. Man, I really hope everyone listened and heard what Brother Davis said. And just replay this for your friends and family. So necessary. Next caller we got out of NYC. Caller out of NYC, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? We know where you're calling from. What's your question or comment?
What's doing, Brother Dave and Keith and Brother Davis on the line and everyone else? This is Tag. And
my brother Tag, what's going on?
What's doing? Maintain and appreciate the broadcast. What I've heard of it, you know, I've been trying to catch as much as I could. And,
yeah.
You know, it just seems to me, you know, not being a constitutional lawyer or anything like that, but it just seems to me, in thinking about all of these questions of the debt that certain characters are looking to have, I guess, us, you know, inherit, or those of us that find ourselves out here in this debt-ridden space. But it seems to me that Isn't knowing this or both the terms of a contract one of those crucial elements to that contract's validity? Like, it just seemed to me that there's a lot that's invalid about the contract or contracts that we are being seemingly implicated in. I wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know what, Tag? Great point. And yes, but one of the things with contracts, if you look at any judge and how a contract is adjudicated, it doesn't matter how extreme or how crazy the contract is. If two parties agree, that's what's called consideration. The judge can't enforce the overall, can only enforce. This is why you'll always hear a judge say, let me see the contract. It doesn't matter what's written in the contract if it's signed and agreed upon by both parties. The thing is that what they were saying is that you should have never agreed to this. But now there is a difference here. There is a difference here. If the overall contract was written in defraud, there's a difference. There's a difference, and there is a huge difference in that. So then that contract can be nullified, okay? When it comes to the economic standpoint, the contract is a debt instrument. And the debt instrument is something that it really has no intrinsic value. It's a facade. It really doesn't exist. It's a promissory note that the promise can't be made on. And in that one, it can't be nullified. Even if there was legal recourse, but there's still no standing that you can take. See, man creates a monopoly, and from a facade. Since it doesn't exist, what recourse are you going to be able to get from something that doesn't exist? You know, yesterday we were in, I heard a great service, and it talked about monopoly money, Keith. One of the things about monopoly money, and it was said that they've actually created more monopoly money than they have cash. And then one person says, I can believe that because a lot of times I have way more monopoly money than I do cash. But see, one of the tricks in that was that they don't just create this overall debt instrument by printing it. They create it digitally. And since it is no real representation of money, because what is money? Money is what the great creator has made. A currency is what man is manipulated to make. And it's a facade, it's a counterfeit of money. And since it doesn't have any intrinsic value, there can never be a settlement of intrinsic value when there was never none there in the first place. This is why it's so important for us to engage in things that really do matter and not chase the mirage. Because when you chase the mirage, you'll end up finding out something. It never leads to any stability. So we got to stop chasing it. So yes, Tag, you're absolutely right. And it's you know, if fraud is involved, but when it comes to currency and it comes to this level of things, it's a promissory note. This is why they put on that overall debt instrument, this note is legal tender for all debts in public and private. And that's an economic word for a promissory note. How many promises is man faulted on? And they continue to do it. If they only falter on promises because there's a unrealistic expectation by the one that accepted the promise, that's what hurts us. So well said, Taz. We got another call. Was there anything else, Taz, before we go to the other caller?
No, Taz, appreciate that question. The question of the note, certainly I recognize and hear you on that. It's not that it's saying it's a contractual note, it's saying it's a promissory one.
Yes. Yep, and that's a problem. Great, great question, Tag. My brother, get in contact with me. Always love to hear. We got another caller out of 751. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What say you? Where you calling from, and what is your name?
757, man. It's Otis.
Hey, OLG. What's going on, Otis? Shoot,
hey,
bro.
Not a whole lot, man. I've been listening to you while doing a little cleanup from this Michael stuff, just a little yard debris and limbs and stuff, you know, lightweight stuff. But what I was going to say is that after listening to you, you know, I always have to try to get a little bit more in-depth. And I've been listening to that economist, Stephanie Kelton, that talked about modern monetary theory. And the way she explained kind of, I think, what you were talking about with digital currency and stuff. She said the easiest way to understand it is most people think when they go to a bank and get a loan that the bank withdraws money and gives it to them.
Yeah.
She said in reality what they do is you created a positive for them. So they're actually depositing money because the expectation is you got to pay it back. And like you were talking about, then they kind of double up on you because they get interest for you paying it back, but it shows on their books as a positive. Where we would think of it as, you know, coming out of your pocket, and that's not the way it works. I was just throwing that in because I was trying to understand some of the theories that you introduced me to. So I started listening to her and a couple of other guys, you know, to understand it. That's all I wanted to throw in. Great program so far, bro.
Yes, sir. Always. And one of the things that's very important about that is that, see, the thing about the banks is that they have no skin in the game. They are not giving up anything, or they're not giving anything that they didn't. They're not expending any energy. All of the expectation of resource and of money is coming from you, because in order for you to pay that back, you have to give up energy. They have no overall risk at all because they have no part of the consideration of it. They don't create anything. So they are in a position where they are giving you something that doesn't exist, and they have no energy expenditure to do it. How much energy are they expending to create something that has no value and is just a promise? How many of you could go around and make promises and get all of the resources and all of the assets? How many promises would you make? Just think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Just think about this for a minute. All you had to do is go around and make a promise to somebody, and then they give you all of their energy. and you continue to do that, and from all of their energy and all of their resources, you have someone that has land and they have a farmland, and you say, hey, you give me all of your overall products, all of your harvest, and I promise I'll come watch the game with you. And then they don't show up because they're busy using your overall assets to get them other things. Who wins and who loses? That's what the banks are doing. There is no overall fiduciary obligation or fiduciary energy that they're giving you. They're extracting it all because it doesn't exist. It's magic. It's magic. And it's deceptive, destructive magic. Well, hey, everyone, we got to get ready to get out of here. Show went by so, so quick. Much love, much respect. Keith wanted to be real, real silent. Otis wanted to say one more thing. Let me get him back on. Go ahead, Otis.
I was just going to say, to show you how color is introduced to that after listening to you and to learning more. He also said an interesting thing that I didn't understand, the game inside the game. He said that's why black banks couldn't prosper, because one of the rules is once they accumulate $100,000 worth of loans, they have to convert it to Fed bonds.
Yes.
So they keep you poor because they can't even invest in their own communities. So this myth that these Dr. Boyce and the rest are talking about black banking, they don't even understand the regulation stops black banking from doing the same thing that the big banks do. That's all I want to throw in.
That's a part of the charter. That's absolutely right. That's a part of the charter. So, hey, everyone, well said, Otis. Listen, we got to get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And remember, before you ask for a fortune, always give one away. Great Creator willing, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants